hiking back out to the road, an individual that was not in our party approached us and asked if we were able to assist in evacuating an injured person in their party.
The first search and rescue of the season. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That news and much more up next. The state ferry Columbia was delayed in Skagway Monday night, departing the northernmost end of its route more than 6 hours later than planned. The Alaska Marine Highway System says the Columbia experienced a mechanical delay and was expected to be repaired in Juneau on Tuesday. The ferry departed Skagway at 11:30 p.m. Monday and stopped in Haines before continuing to the Auk Bay Terminal in Juneau. Updates will be available after technicians have boarded the vessel, and AMHS says staff will contact affected passengers. In the meantime, the Leconte is sailing the Upper Lynn Canal, booked for Haines and Skagway Tuesday and Wednesday. The Tlingit Tribes and Clans Conference continued through the weekend at Harrigan Centennial Hall in Sitka. More than 250 people from Alaska, Washington State, and Canada were in Sitka last week for the conference, including residents of the Upper Lynn Canal. They include clan members, elders, leaders, scholars, and members of the public. Jerry Hope is one of the event's organizers. He says this year's theme focused on the future and how to pass forward Tlingit traditions and protocols. The idea, he said, is to promote an active culture and to dispel the notion that it's a relic of the past.
Tlingit people are alive, well, doing things. We're not something that is being revived. We're not something, a group of people that have died and we're studying the past. We're living, breathing people that have a strong culture.
Hope says finding ways for that culture to flourish into the future is one of the conference's major goals. And he notes it wasn't too long ago when Tlingit culture was hidden from view.
Now, language, culture, protocol is honored. Our emblems, our crests, our lineages, all that is really okay. And the clan conference is a real strong medium that expresses that, shows that.
Sessions covered everything from regalia to interactions between tribes and the federal government. There were sessions on language, cultural identity in the digital age, traditional food, and more. The conference concluded on Sunday. A scheduled training for Skagway's search and rescue team suddenly became the first rescue of the season over the weekend when the team found themselves in the right place at the right time to help an injured snowshoer from another group. Colin Aikman is assistant fire chief with the Skagway Fire Department and is captain of the search and rescue team.
Skagway search and rescue team was out at the summit on Saturday doing some scheduled practice with snow anchors and high angle rescue.
The group had hiked in for their practice session in the morning and had turned around to head home after finishing at about 1:30 p.m.
And as we were hiking back out to the road, an individual that was not in our party approached us and asked if we were able to assist in evacuating an injured person in their party. We did.
Skagway sometimes averages 10 to 12 search and rescue calls a year, but the last few years have seen lower volumes of calls. Last year, Skagway had about 5 search and rescues, or SARs. This weekend was the first official search and rescue of the year conducted by any of the local fire departments.
Apparently they had been snowshoeing and they had got stuck in a hole and twisted their knee and couldn't hike out. And the crew that was with them was a fairly experienced crew, but they didn't have any equipment to be able to easily evacuate the individual, and luckily we had a Stokes litter and all the equipment we needed, and we made our way up to the individual, got him packaged up after a quick medical check of him, and hiked him back out to the road.
The rescue took about 40 minutes for the team to evacuate the patient from about 3,500 feet to the road at 3,000 feet.
And the decision was made to put the individual in the vehicle with one of the folks in their group and take him into Skagway to the clinic. We sent an EMT along with them to make sure that they would be all right, and then dropped them at the clinic.
This is not the first time such coincidental timing has happened to the Skagway crew. Aikman says about 7 years ago, the search and rescue team was in the middle of a similar spring training on the mountain when they were approached by a person who alerted them of a nearby injured skier who was in need of help. Aikman says the timing of Saturday's rescue was good for team members, old and new.
Everything is pretty fresh in everyone's mind, so there were actually a lot of new people that were up there, and it was their first exposure to a lot of this rope stuff. And then four individuals, it was their first actual search and rescue call. So I think it was a good experience for them, and maybe to get them even more excited than they were already, and those keep coming around.
In the winter season, the SAR team has about 15 active members that are organized under the Skagway Fire Department. Aikman says that number typically doubles in the summer season. Skagway SAR branch holds an annual search and rescue basic training for anyone interested in joining the team. That training is coming up April 21st and 22nd in Skagway.
We're always accepting new memberships, and this is kind of the annual drive that we do as search and rescue to get new members. And so we'll have signs up, and we'll contact KH&S as well to have announcements out there. And anybody's welcome. They just need to come by the Skagway Fire Department and pick up an application.
The training will be a day and a half in Skagway and will focus on rope rescue and some search with a full day in the classroom. It'll be followed by a camp out, mock search, and high angle rescue around Lower Lake.
It'll be a lot of fun, learn a lot of good stuff, and give everybody a leg up for the summer if they're new to the department, and it's good practice for the folks that have been here for a while.
More information on joining the volunteer team at the Skagway Fire Department is at 983-2450. Applications are available at the department, located at 5th and State in Skagway. Southeast Native leaders continue pushing to keep Saxman's status as a subsistence community. Alaska's Federal Subsistence Board removed the status about 6 years ago, saying the town of about 500 was too closely linked to the city of Ketchikan, which is not a subsistence community. That could reduce fish and deer bag limits in times of scarce resources. The board has since agreed to continue subsistence status while the issue is reconsidered. Tlingit Haida Central Council President Ed Thomas testified in support of Saxman during the recent subsistence board meeting in Juneau.
People in Saxman had relied on subsistence resources from the beginning of time, and the road connecting them to Ketchikan really does not take away that dependence.
Bert Adams, chairman of the Southeast Alaska Subsistence Regional Advisory Council, also stated his group's support. The board has taken up the issue during the past year. Peter Probasco of the Federal Office of Subsistence Management said the decision will be made within 2 years. The Central Council's Thomas urged the board to side with Saxman.
I hope that as you deliberate about that kind of an issue and the importance of subsistence to a rural community, keep in mind that in the true sense of the term, Saxman is rural. I think that it's important for the people in that community to get a fair judgment on the need for subsistence based on the merit of subsistence as opposed to whether or not they get along with people in Ketchikan or not.
Several other communities are in a similar situation. Federal officials said a decision on Saxman could apply to other parts of Alaska. Snowboarders from 4 to 26 years old caught big air at last weekend's snow jump event at the Haines Pass. The annual big air competition ran for a 17th year on Sunday under clear blue skies in Canada outside of Haines.
Oh, the scene was just bluebird. I think everybody who went up there got a little bit of sun on their face.
Luck Dunbar helped organize the event, which pulled in at least 12 competing riders and about 60 spectators.
Yeah, a bunch of locals. It was a local year again.
A panel of three judges watch snowboarders as they ride off a man-made snow jump. They make their decisions based on air, difficulty, and landing. Two snowboarders, Logan Simpson and Darren Shields, competed neck and neck for the top prize of the day.
They were both really, it was a really tight, actually, Logan pulled out a win by 1 point with our judges. And so he got a full day of heli skiing and an Aurora Project t-shirt. And I think he was pretty happy with that. And Darren was pretty stoked with a sweatshirt from Aurora Project and also a nice pair of goggles from Smith.
Logan took the win, sailing off with his signature one-foot jump. Darren took runner-up, but also another distinction from the judges and organizers.
You know, it was really neat to see Darren Shields out there. He was there the very first time, and he was pretty young hitting the jump. But, you know, you see him out there, and he's one of the original guys that helped build the first jump. You know, he must be pretty young, and he was after it. And I've seen him do this. I call it the Dirty Darren. I have no idea what he's doing in the air, but he's been doing it for so long. And this year, it was the closest I saw him to, it looked like a rodeo flip, but he's got this funky style he throws in there and all laid out. And he landed on the tail and popped up, and it was pretty exciting, you know, to see him stick that the Dirty Darren, as we called it.
Charlie Bauer won the intermediate class, winning cat skiing and a gift certificate, and Dawson Evenden took second. Dunbar called this year's beginners category a heated matchup.
Caden Doddridge, he took first, and he was just basically sending it, and he landed every single one of his jumps. And seemed like everybody who hit the jump, there was a nice little bump at the bottom, and I think the judges kind of kept their eye on that as well, because you hit the big air jump, and then there's another jump at the bottom, and all these kids were trying to do, like, 360s and stuff, and Caden would just point it and go, and it was just fun. You know, everybody was getting the most out of it, that's for sure.
Cameron Bauer took second, and Zane Durr took third in the beginners category. The ladies category, new this year, had two competitors. Haynes Anna Jacobson won that field, taking home a round-trip ticket to Juneau and a ski pass to the city's ski area. A four-year-old local was the youngest to hit the jump, built near Three Guardsmen off the Canada side of the Haynes Highway.
Yeah, we had Andrew Winkle hit the kiddie jump. He wanted to hit it, and so he hit it once and said, that's good enough for me, and went and hung out and watched the rest of the event. So that was pretty fun.
Local sponsors donated the prizes and giveaways, allowing entrance to the jump competition to be free this year.
Everybody got something, and especially a lot of sun and smiles. It was another good turnout.
For KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell.